Here's another story. Once it occurred, a small town slightly inland from the Essex coast became the birthplace of Mr. Mildred Snatt, who would become the world's only four-eared man. The newborn of him was later never remembered, and as a result, Mr. Snatt was innocent of all guilt. At the stop, age of 20, Snatt was enrolled institute, where he met several wedding bell candidates. We'll get to know the necessary three. Wendy F. was shapely, moralistic, and relied on too many one-time release too soon. One day, Mr. Snatt would notice her purchasing a whole room full of valuable collector's stamps, and the following day, she would at once be bored 2x4 and sell them saw she could sign up for a year's membership at a physical club. Soon afterwards, her refund from that went towards a cabinet filled with narcotics. A quick brunch and Mr. Snatt would walk out her door, never to return. And yet she deserves every vote she can muster. Today, Mr. Snatt chooses a wife. The setting, Father O'Rourke Memorial Gymnasium, and hundreds of motorists are present. Snatt is having Coca-Cola as a gray king approaches his nervous lean. Hey, old boy, we hear institute that you're getting married, King insults. No, that's not even close, Snatt replies, and if you don't get away from me, I'll summon Sheila. Ah, Sheila. Sheila Kaut from Switzerland. Her candidacy was gained through her culinary wits. Every morning for a year before the elect, Sheila grew fish on her neck, and Snatt would move up close and dine. Only the finest Swiss mackerel for him, and Sheila appeared to be the victor. That is, until the sharp bones of one unfortunate protruded invisibly into Snatt's eye, puncturing the parody itself and spitting aqueous humor onto the victim's handcuffed galoshes. Miss S. Kaut never knew after that incident whether his powder would bond in court to score extra points, or extra points disqualified marine disasters. And oddly enough, that specific rule was the brainstorm of Minnie. But her real name was Ushi. She was not going to run, but Mr. Snatt's fatal gestures caused march straight ahead past the judge in waiting and into the stop reading spotlight stand. Yell at me, my dear, Snatt commanded. Mistaken, Ushi asked, scratching head. Yellow what? Indeed, he was bananas. So it came into the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mineola accent reverberation round and round the hall. Hey, remarked old Snatt, it sounds really great with 4 years. Great, replied one individual. How? Asked another individual. Because all existing degrees, 360. Snatt's got all that going for him? Yep. And if Stop Sausage Magazine page number solves the King's puzzle, we could end up with the other two wedding bell candidates. Yep. Snatt was listening to these individuals quote on, but he grabbed their heads and cracked each one open, feeling but another naked human. This one must surely fill a woman mold, Snatt immediately realized. Hello? May I have please stop reading Pennsylvania attention? Some heckler shouted. What? Sheila. Sheila Kaut, that's who it was. Sheila, snouted Chet, look. Miss Kaut obeyed the tom-tom and discovered the broken skulls and her own face glowing outward as if in Macy's. Don't read this. Could it be her sister? Was this messy situation a gypsy's mothball? All of these questions followed by lightning fast until suddenly the gymnasium focused its quiet stare on the aura of beaming rays where the individual's heads lay, bleeding as blood. Sheila collapsed into Snat's newspaper boy's minuscule, causing a hum-hum snicker to echo plexiglass round and round the inner ceiling of Father O'Rourke's ancient coliseum. "Hey," Mr. Snat stood up, pointing. "This sounds great before ears." "Who said that?" All eyes were looking at the mothball. Why, there appeared to be a dim but shiny resemblance to Wendy F. And then there was a scream. Ushie. She was dead. Mr. Snat spoke up. "Does no man present care to offer a helpful bit of pancake advice? I mean, we have four individuals deceased right under our noses, stinking hell." No one budged. No one was scared, though. Everyone was perhaps sure about Wendy. She slowly walked through the wax paper tunnel with the cute little white leaves attached as Snat waited finger. "Mildred?" Wendy stupefied her audience. "How wrong must she be about genders? Anyhow?" Snat became flagrant and yet stopped the entire cast in their foot shoes. "Wait. Look at this girl's hobbies. And they will become mine." The verdict, applause, frequented the area. The vote was in. Wendy F., 16168 West Road, was to be in heat. Wave goodbye to Daddy, honey, be or not to read another foolproof short stories. High there inside the walloping gymnasium, where all were rejoicing in food, gaiety, spread shots, and each with a Pittsburgh pencil in hand, drawing the elaborate 20-foot-high letters on the sign, which spelled J-U-S-T-M-A-R-R-I-E. As Wendy F. Snat slips slow in her groove and oils her wealthy husband's lobes, she recalls with us this early religious experience. She says, "You know, the laws have changed since then." She's reminding us, as if we didn't already know, I can't listen to any more. The Snats are now buried in wreath cake osmosis beneath cake layers of charming pink jelly. They had no survivors or kids playing touch my dick in the woods. And all that's left is the king. Me. I was repaid 9-12-46 in the office of my ankle. I have nothing else left to read.